You are listening to The Activity Pod with Mel Kettle and Annette Jones, where we help you stay focused so you can get stuff done. In today's show, episode 16, we interview chef Dominique Rizzo. We talk to Dominique about life, love and food, as well as how she became a chef. You can find this episode at theactivitypod.com/16. That's number 16, because this is episode 16. If you enjoy listening to our show, please consider leaving us a review or a rating on iTunes or Stitcher. And thank you very much for listening. We hope you do enjoy our show.
Welcome to The Activity Pod, where your hosts, Annette Jones and Mel Kettle, talk accountability and focus on helping you get stuff done so you can gain greater freedom to choose what you want to from life. And now, here are your hosts, Annette and Mel.
Dominique Rizzo is one of Queensland's leading female chefs, as well as a restaurateur, author, presenter, tour guide, and TV and radio host. Her aim is to inspire people to cook with fresh, seasonal, and local produce, to improve general well-being and to build confidence in the kitchen. In 2014, Dominique opened Patia, Pure Food Kitchen, School and Pantry on Brisbane's north side, and she combines this with her other commitments, which also include her Pure Food wine and cooking tours that takes small groups on a cooking and eating and cultural experience, Sicily, Spain and Norfolk Island. That sounds divine. I want to go. Welcome, Dominique.
Thank you very much.
It's great to have you here. So the first thing that we'd love to know is, how do you fit everything in? That's a pretty busy life by the sounds of that.
So firstly, the restaurant I started, as you mentioned, last year. Mm-hmm. So we've been going about a year or so now. And I've got a fabulous team of staff that I'm continually working with, so that they can run the restaurant themselves. And I basically oversee the restaurant. I do cooking for our cabinet and I do the cooking classes and then assist with events. And I'm also working in the office on some of the administration with regards to the food tours and bits and pieces like that. So I'm not physically in the kitchen 5 days a week, although I'm here. Mm-hmm. So that's great because that I'm working on sort of getting the restaurant so that it can tick along in its own entity
with
me kind of popping in and definitely a presence, but not necessarily, you know, 5 days a week, 40-50 hours on the actual restaurant. So that's one aspect of it. The food tours I run every 2 years, so there's something that I can work on throughout the year. So at the moment our Sicilian tour is in June this year, so that one's booked out, which is
fabulous.
Exciting. Yes, because it's probably the last Sicilian tour I'll do for a little while. I've been running the Sicilian tours for about 5 years now. Mm-hmm. And then the next tour I'm hoping is an art and food workshop tour to Greece and Kythera, which is a little island sort of right down the bottom of Greece. And then in a couple of years' time, I'll do Spain. Norfolk Island is hopefully a yearly tour. So I'm really enjoying showcasing this amazing gourmet foodie trail that Norfolk Island has since visiting there myself a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. And they invite me over to also work in their food festival, which runs in November. So I take a group over and then I do a few activities for the festival and then also have this fabulous tour. So that's in November. And then everything else I kind of fit it in between. So, yeah, so diarising and my calendar is very important to me.
Yeah. So you have a fairly structured days, Monday to Friday?
Usually. Mondays and Tuesdays we're closed in the restaurant, so there's sort of an administration day, and then I try and have some time off in between those 2 days. Mm-hmm. And then the Wednesday to Friday I'm usually in the office or in the restaurant, or I am doing demonstrations or I'm hosting cooking classes or working on the tours. So, yeah, I try and really orchestrate days that I go, okay, well, Thursday is work on tours and kind of tie up any loose ends and sort of sort that out. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing, because I have been doing the tours for a while, I have an assistant who I work with who is based in Sicily. So I work closely with him, and he organises all of the bookings and then consults with me. And then I've got the tours pretty much down pat. It's just tweaking and changing a few things every tours. I've had quite a few people that are back for their third tour with me.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, which is really fantastic. But yeah, I suppose for me, getting everything done is really about scheduling everything into my calendar within regards to specific appointments that take me out of the office.
Yeah.
And if I've got to fly down to Sydney, or if I've got interviews, or if I'm doing demonstrations, those sorts of things. And then the rest of it, I kind of, you know, slot in around the working day.
Yep. So do you have a morning routine, something that sets you up for the day, something that you do, you know, from, say, 6 to 8 or?
Yeah, look, I have one that I've got written down, and girls, I'll be honest, I'm still yet to complete a full week of actually adhering to it. But
that sounds exactly like my morning routine that I've written down, and I don't think I've done, you know, more than two days in a week ever.
Yeah. That's it, Mel. I've got it there, and it does involve getting up. Just having a few minutes, even like 2 to 3 minutes, to just kind of, you know, I say hello to my beautiful partner. He's always off to work fairly early. And then I suppose just a few minutes for me, just to kind of get my head into the space of, okay, what have I got on today? What am I doing today? What am I going to achieve today?
Yep.
And fitness, coming home, having a great breakfast, a smoothie or whatever I do at home, and then heading into work. So feed my chickens, my cats, you know, do all those sorts of little chores in the morning, which is great, go out into the garden. Yeah, so that's kind of my morning routine, unless I've got to be down at the restaurant really early, and then it's kind of, you know, wake up, throw an outfit on, do the hair, press on down.
Out the door.
Yeah, but I really do feel, and after speaking with several people and doing, you know, a few different business courses and some coaching, that morning ritual is extremely important, I feel, and I've, you know, the times that I have done it, it has been beneficial to me, and it's just I'm not great with consistency and those sorts of aspects, so it's probably one of my weaknesses is maintaining and sticking to something so that it does become that habit.
It's funny, we ask every guest what their morning routine is, and some of them have very disciplined morning routines, and the others are like you and I, where we aspire to have one, but we're not quite there yet.
That's it, Mel, that's it. And I think with me, because the nature of what I do, my work is very flexible. Although I'm here, you know, I have the restaurant and I've got structured things that I do. It is quite flexible within regards to when I can take time off and when I've got an hour spare, when I've got a couple of hours spare. So it's, yeah, I try and slot in, I suppose, my own time in between work, in between other jobs, in between, you know, getting everything else done. Like yesterday I kind of snuck out for lunch with my mother, had my nails done, got a pedicure. You know, it was just beautiful. And then kind of went back and went back to work. So That is how I kind of find time for myself. I find time to wind down. I find time to go and do fitness and that type of thing is I just have to slot it in or else it just never gets done, because I can never wait for a time when it's like, oh, when I've got a morning free, because it's really inevitably I'll always kind of pack something in or there is never a morning free.
That for me is the beauty of working for yourself. You've got that flexibility to do, you know, to have a long lunch or to do, you know, fun personal things in the day.
I agree, Mel. Yeah. I agree. And it's a definite plus to having your own business. The negative side is that when it's on, like I've really probably been working solid since Christmas and haven't really had any time off as such. I mean, and my version of time off is I'm lying on my back on a lilo at the beach having a cocktail or something for like at least 2 or 3 days straight.
Yeah.
Without thinking about work and with that. So I haven't actually been done that since we kind of, you know, well, since December or prior to December. So yeah, it's in that instance when you're on, and it's really for me now is just finding moments that I can just take a bit of time off or time away, or even just to veg out and watch a movie for, you know, an hour and a half. If I fall asleep, fantastic.
Yeah, I find I need to schedule those in my diary. So I need to schedule a weekend away. Otherwise, you know, it doesn't happen.
I agree. Yeah. I agree with you. And look, you know, it's when, you know, when we're on our own and stuff, I mean, I tend to be a worker. I'm a working girl and a working woman. And, you know, when I was on my own and without a partner, I would just work pretty much all the time. I'm sure I'd catch up with friends, but now that I have a beautiful man in my life, it's actually been beneficial to my lifestyle, and it has slowed me down. It has made me make time for us, which makes me make time for myself, for him, and as a couple, which has been fantastic. And that's been really awesome as well.
Annette and I were just talking about that because our last guest who we interviewed is Anita Heiss, and she's of a similar age to all of us and doesn't have a man and doesn't have kids. And she attributes that to why she's had such career success. Mm. And Annette and I were saying a lot of our female friends who haven't had long-term partners recently are the same. And having a partner, like we were just wondering if we were single and didn't have the men or the partners in our lives, where would we be from a career perspective today? And I just find that quite interesting how you've said now your priorities have changed, because that was when I met my partner, when I met Sean, my priorities completely changed. And I didn't want to be working 80, 90 hours a week anymore because I wanted to be spending time with him. And now I don't work after 6 o'clock at night because he's home from work then and I want to spend time with him.
That's Mel, and you've hit the nail on the head for me. I mean, you know, I'm 40, what did I turn this year? 45? What are we, 16? No, 44. And I mean, I've literally got a job.
Knock off 10 years and nobody would realise.
And thanks for Mel for including me in your ages. That's fantastic. I'll be that age. Yep, no worries.
I think I started working when I was about 8 or 9 years old. Like, I had a part-time job down the road in the local restaurant clearing tables on a weekend, and literally have been working ever since. And that's exactly the same thing for me. I kind of thought when I meet a beautiful person who I want to spend time with, I want to spend time with them. And yeah, I'm extremely happy to have slowed down or to make time for him. And that's the same thing when he comes home at work or when I'm finished here. Unfortunately, we only do 2 nights dinner service here. So, you know, for the rest of the week, I've got nights off, which is fantastic. So I can catch up with, you know, with Simon at home, and we can have dinner, or we can go out, or we can just, you know, hang and chat. And it's been fabulous. And in fact, Mel, I'll be honest with you, I'm leading more of my life is yearning to have more time to spend with him and travel and live my life and just enjoy my time with him, having met a beautiful man after all this time. Yeah. So I think that's my goals and the vision that I have for, I suppose, the next sort of 6 years is, you know, to continue my business so that it is running on its own, to do my food tours, the things that I really love and give me great joy, but also to be able to have that quality time to spend with my partner.
You're answering all our questions before I even get to ask them.
I'm
excellent. We can go now.
Nice meeting you.
But what I did want to ask you, or what I wanted to say to you, is I've known you for quite a few years now, and I know how hard you've worked to get to where you are today in your life in general, I guess. So how do you measure success, and what drives you, and what has driven you over the last, well, since you were 8 and started working?
That's a really good question, Mel, because I don't know if I have a measure for success. I kind of, when I was working really, you know, when I had Mondo Organics and even, you know, through my chefing career and I always felt that I was climbing up some ladder, and it's not, you know, I'm not in a corporate world. I'm in a completely different world, the world of hospitality and you know, restauranting and chefs and doing what I do, but I just always felt like it was, I don't know, I was climbing this ladder to achieve something, but I didn't really know what it was or when it would end or where it kind of finished or where I would feel satisfied, if you knew what I mean. And so I just had this constant push to always kind of just keep working harder and harder, and I had to do more and I had to do more, and it wasn't good enough, and it wasn't enough, and that wasn't enough. And I think coming of age, I think, is a wonderful thing because and also, you know, doing work on yourself and courses and reading and meeting different people like yourself and hearing other different stories and particularly, you know, being with like-minded business women, I think for me it's been kind of arriving at this age, you know, having a business that's successful. I mean, we've only been here the sort of the first year, but continually having to remind myself to look back on my achievements at what I have done, I think that has been the main aspect to me of how I now measure my success, because I suppose I never really kept looking back and going, wow, Dominique, you've actually done this, that this is your second restaurant and, yeah, you have, you know, done a lot of TV work and you have produced a cookbook and now you've got these fabulous food tours. Like, I've done a lot and I just think that I've just been so on the mouse treadmill, you know, that treadmill.
Yeah, yeah.
And never really got off to actually stop and go, shit, you've actually done a really great job. You should actually give yourself a bit of a pat on the back and stop pushing yourself so much. So, yeah, I think just off late and also meeting my partner who's wonderful and keeps telling me to slow down and have time off and look at what you've done and I'm so proud of you, and it's made me kind of stop and go. Because other people tell you and you just sort of, you brush it off a bit, but then it comes a time where a person comes along and they tell you and you stop and you actually look and listen and you go, oh, actually, yeah. So, yeah, I think I kind of measure my success by me finally going, yeah, well, now I can take a few steps back and I don't have to. What am I running? What am I climbing this? Where am I going? Like, where am I going with it? And really questioning those sorts of aspects. And do I need to be working, you know, 80, 90 hours a week to get to somewhere that I'm the only person that's really pushing myself to?
Yeah. I think that's such an entrepreneurial thing where we don't, and this is quite relevant for me at the moment, having just sold a business after 16 years and people sort of saying to me, oh, you know, how do you feel and so on and so forth. And I really consciously have to think about, wow, I've done that, you know, because it just feels like, oh, yeah, I've done that. Next sort of thing. And what's the next thing? yeah, that's good. But hang on a minute, stop and actually take in what you've done. So, yeah, I so get that. And I do think that that's an entrepreneurial quality or quirkiness or whatever you want to call it. But, yeah, I hear that a lot.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah.
You're listening to The Activity Pod. If you know anyone who could benefit from a regular accountability checkup, then go to theactivitypod.com/share and help spread the love.
One of the things I read about you a few years ago, after you'd probably been on Ready Steady Chef or Ready Steady Cook for, I don't know, a few months, was that you were an overnight success.
Oh, really?
And I had the biggest laugh to myself. And I didn't know you then. We hadn't met then. But I just thought, no one who is the age that you were at the time who has had a career as long as you have had as a chef is an overnight success. So how did your can you just talk to us a bit about how your, like, 20 years ago, where did you see yourself today and what did you do to get there?
Oh, God.
Particularly from a TV perspective.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
I know, you know, there's this big celebrity chef culture now. Was that something that you aspired to be, or did it just sort of happen and you went along for the ride?
Yeah, look, not at all. I mean, I didn't even really aspire to be a chef, to be honest. I mean, when I was younger, I think I was right into the arts at school and that was something that I was great at, and I wanted to be an art teacher. And then my grades, well, at the end I think I got it was a very high achievement and high achievement back then, and my teacher gave me a high achievement. And just despite the whole thing, I just threw it all in and went overseas and didn't go to uni or didn't do anything, came back and thought, what will I do? And I thought, oh, I really enjoy cooking. And I've cooked, you know, as a little girl, you bake and you cook, and I was always around food and the Italian culture. And I thought, oh, I love doing that. So I ventured along that line, and I didn't get my apprenticeship until I was 21, which is a little bit older for apprentices back then, particularly because a lot of the apprentices started at sort of 16, 17. But I just kind of fell into it, I think. And then it was almost like it found me as opposed to me chasing after it. When I started working at the soup kitchen, it was my first job, and under Brenda Forden, who I then went on to own Mondo Organics with Brenda and Sonia. And Brenda and Sonia were great. They really kind of pushed me during the Soup Kitchen and thus coming into Mondo Organics, pushed me as the chef and the spokesperson. And, you know, if there was anything to do sort of media-wise, the girls would always kind of go, Dom, you go do it. And one of my goals back then was to get on the front cover of Gourmet Traveller, which I did, which was a huge highlight of my career as a young chef.
That's awesome.
Yeah, which was fantastic. So we got on the front cover and had a beautiful sort of 7-page spread in Gourmet, which was just fantastic. And
when was that? What that issue was that?
Back in that would have had to have been I started Mondo at 2000. So it was between kind of 2000 and 2007. Mm. And it was with this beautiful gelato cassata, so with this lovely ice cream cassata cake, and I had these gorgeous pink corduroy pants with this lovely cassata cake with the figs and ricotta inside, and it was sort of, and this espresso syrup kind of drizzling over the top. It was it was really beautiful. It was a beautiful front cover. It was a really beautiful front cover, and it's not often, it was the first time in actual fact that I had actually ever seen a person on the front cover, because normally they do food.
I'm just thinking that. I was a long-time subscriber to Gourmet Traveller, and I don't think I ever saw a person on the cover.
No, well, they didn't have my head. It was just my kind of my torso and my legs and then this beautiful cassava sitting on my lap. But, I don't think I've ever seen too many people or bodies on the front cover. But anyway, that was sort of the highlight. And then I got a segment on Food Lover's Guide to Australia when we first started Mondo Organic. So that's probably was my first ever TV gig. I had really short hair. I was so shy. And then started doing kind of Great Southeast and a few of the local programs that kind of came. And having Mondo and having it organic and the first organic licensed restaurant on sort of Southeast Queensland was, you know, that was it was quite unique back then, and I suppose noteworthy and was great because it did put us on the map. It put me, I suppose, in a bit of that sort of that spotlight of and realm of chefs during that time. And when Ready Steady Cook started, which was probably about 8 or 9 years ago, I think now, there were mostly fellows on the show. I think Jackie Gowan was on there and a couple of other girls. And they were looking for some more female chefs. And I believe Alistair McLeod kind of mentioned, oh, you should give Dom a go in Brisbane. Anyway, they gave me a call and came up to Mondo, and I did a bit of a screen test. And because I was talking so much, I was doing this crusted fish, and I had baking paper in the frying pan, and I had the fish and the crust face down in the frying pan chatting away, and then went to pick it up and it was burnt, and then I'm like, oh, it's a little bit singed, just scratch it off and you can add a few herbs and blah, blah, blah. You know, just talk my way through it. And they were like, oh my god, love, you got no problem. So that's kind of how my career and Ready Steady Cook started. And I, you know, and as you've probably seen, you know, most of the boys now who have got amazing careers currently on TV and through different media levels and all kind of started on Ready Steady. So it was a fantastic platform for a lot of us chefs back then to kind of step into different areas of what you wanted to do. And for me, you know, I had a very realistic outlook about the media industry and television, and it was always just the cherry on top of my already abundant cake, I suppose, because it's nothing that you could really seriously rely on because you never knew if they were going to call you back or if it was very, I mean, the industry is quite fickle in essence in itself. So, yes, but it was fantastic. I loved the experience, and it was right up my alley because my apprenticeship and my beginnings as a young chef was all about just having ingredients and throwing food together. That's how I learnt how to cook and how to put flavors together. Like Brenda and I would go down to the Vietnamese shop down in West End. We'd go to the Greek deli. We'd go to the Indian shop. Yeah. We'd just buy a whole pile of ingredients and then we'd make a menu. So I was really very confident with, you know, having 5 ingredients and throwing food together. And thus, I suppose that's my thing. I've become really great at giving people great ideas with simple ingredients that they've got at home, by coming up with some wonderful ideas of how to incorporate them into everyday cooking. But thus from Ready Steady Cook came, you know, a few different TV shows that I've done. It's a Lifestyle, Yes Chef. the radio gigs on 4BC, ABC. I'm still currently doing interviews and bits and pieces on ABC talking about food with David. So, yeah, it's been wonderful. And then also, you know, led into after I finished Mondo, I left Mondo, so I was just physically exhausted and really just wanted to kind of have a break from the restaurant. I then basically decided what I really loved doing, and that was the demonstrations and the classes and being out in public and stuff. And then I sort of put some proposals together and started sending them out and doing a few jobs here and there, and kind of built up that side of my career more so over from probably 2007 up until when I started Putia. So for 7 years, seems girls, I go in 7 year cycles at the moment.
Nothing wrong with that.
But yeah, so I kind of worked on my own as my own entity for 7 years, and then decided to open Putia. So I had a really great following, which is awesome, and I think it was kind of time to have a place, because I felt that when I was out doing cooking demonstrations or I was out working in front of the general public, whether it be food shows, people would be like, oh, have you got a restaurant? And asking, or have you got, yeah, they wanted something more, or, you know, it was almost like, well, I'd do the demonstration, then that was it. There was no more way that they could kind of connect with what I did or keep a connection going. And having the restaurant is great, because now when I go out and do demonstrations, I can give out, you know, vouchers to the restaurant. I can say, look, here's, I've got a restaurant at Northside, come in and see us, and we do classes. And it's this beautiful now, this wonderful ball that kind of keeps rolling.
Yeah, yeah. How do you stay focused to make the restaurant successful, and given, you know, everything else you've got going on? And why, oh, well, you've said why open a restaurant, but had you forgotten how much hard work they are?
Oh, God, Mel. Yeah. I have this amazing PA who's in my office now, Jenny, who's typing away. She's been with me for, I think, six. I got Jenny when I left Mondo and I started working for myself. And I think, Mel, you and I kind of talked about this and that next step of needing help but kind of not thinking, oh, I can't really afford it, but it's almost like you can't afford to not have help.
I remember you said to me when you first hired her, your income significantly increased.
Hugely.
So
yeah.
How did that work? How did that happen?
Well, I think because I'm not great on the books. Like I'm a very I'm an ideas girl. I'm a doer. I get stuff done. I'm hands on. I can come up with great ideas of, oh, this would be fantastic. Let's do this. And get in and physically, you know, I have a vision and then I can bring it to fruition. But when it comes to the nitty gritty of the, you know, dollars and cents and budgets and all that kind of bookings and I just needed a hand. And so Jenny, I got her on board and she's been amazing. So she helped me. Well, I was working on my own with all my bookings and job quotes. And it's that value that you put on yourself. We undervalue ourselves. And again, it's not until somebody else comes along who sees what you do and goes, actually you need to be charging, you should be charging this, or you are really undervaluing. Have you thought about that? This, you actually do this. You need to go out and get the ingredients. You need to shop, you need to prep it. You're taking it there, all the equipment, then you're handing out tastings. Have you thought, did you encompass all of that into your fee? And that's where Jenny kind of really came in and helped me. And, yeah, and it freed me up to not be bogged down doing all the paperwork, to be able to get more gigs and network and work on that side of it. And then I had Jenny in the background just kind of, you know, doing the paperwork for me and making sure that I was getting paid and everyone was, you know, paying their invoices, and that was all rolling in nicely. So, yeah, that was just – That was mind-blowing to see that huge jump in the income, and it was fantastic. And it was really exciting because I was doing so many different things. I mean, as I am now, and also Jenny, getting her involved in different stuff. She takes photos and social media and, you know, so it was sort of a jack-of-all-trades job that I had actually posted on Seek that time. But it's been really successful. I couldn't have done it without her. You know, it's to have that right-hand person. I mean, the woman knows more about me than what I do myself.
But, I think you said that one of the hardest things for you and for most people is valuing themselves. And that's something that I certainly notice with myself, but also with other small business owners who, you know, say to me, oh, I'm charging this much to do this. What do you think? And 9 times out of 10, my response is you need to double that, if not triple it, because you know, people are paying for your expertise and your years of experience and your years of education to get to where you, so for where you've gotten to where you are today. Mm-hmm. I can't speak. And I also think that a really difficult thing for small business owners and for anybody in business is to follow up on that invoicing and to charge people and to follow up on late payment. So having a middleman like a PA or an accountant or a bookkeeper, yeah, or someone like that to do those jobs removes you from the dirty bit of the relationship with a client, so that if the client says, oh, I'm a bit late, you can, with my invoice, you can just say, well, I'll get my PA onto it, or, you know, my That's assistant right. will help you. And it doesn't tarnish that relationship that you might have with them, with you then saying, I can't work for you because you haven't paid my last two invoices. Mm. Someone else can say that for you.
Yeah,
that's and that right. way you preserve that relationship and your that's, integrity. Mm.
Exactly. And I think, you know, Jenny has a non-emotional attachment to it all, whereas I'm kind of that, you know, that exactly what you said, Mel. I'd be like, oh, God, if I charge too much, then maybe they won't get me for the job and then I won't get this other one. And then, you know what I mean?
Yeah, whereas, that's right.
And then also I think, again, with experience and self-confidence, and now I put my fee out and I'm like, yeah, if they don't, you know, if it's, if someone doesn't take it, there's another one that's just around the corner. So yeah. I'm not so attached to the fear of not getting the job, whereas that's kind of what I had before. And that again, it's back to that self-worth and that confidence, and I think, you know, coming of – just, I don't know, settling into yourself more, which is what's happened to me, I suppose, over the past kind of 3-4 years. And also it's hard work. Like doing what I do, and I suppose, you know, anyone that does, you know, demonstrations and stuff, it's not just rocking up. And well, you know, you and I spoke about this and putting proposals together. I mean, it's hours of work and, you know, putting recipes together, then going and getting the ingredients, prepping it, packing it all up, arriving at the gig, setting up, doing the gig, giving out the tastings, chatting to people, then packing it all together, bringing it back, unpacking it, washing it, putting it away. I mean, it is a mammoth job and it's exhausting. So now when I think about it, I think about all the work that's involved and I'm like, yep, that is a perfect fee. That's great. You know,
and also standing up all day as well. Like there's no chance to sit when you're giving a demonstration. You're standing and you're on constantly.
That's it. Yeah. So I'm really happy now that, because I mean, I suppose without Jenny too and her sort of stance on things, and she'll, I'll mention a price and she'll always go a bit above, and I'm really grateful for that because it has given me more value on myself and that I do deserve this, and yes, I have got this experience and this is my field of expertise, and you know, not everybody can stand, perform, talk, entertain, educate, cook, feed, you know, all of these aspects.
That's very true.
So that's been really amazing. But to look answer your question, no, I had no idea that I would end up owning a restaurant or owning, you know, a couple of different restaurants, doing TV. When I was 18, I went overseas on my own with a girlfriend, and I came back and I said to my mother, I'd really love to, you know, be a tour guide and throw a, you know, the red checkered tablecloth out across the lawn under the Tuscan trees or somewhere in Italy and have, you know, a banquet there and and it took me kind of, you know, 30, 40 years to do it. But it was something that I remember distinctly saying to my mother and kind of then left my world and then came back and I thought, no, I'm going to do this. But I'm very much, when I think of something that I want, I 9 out of 10 times I generally make it happen. I'm a doer. I'm a doing girl.
Yeah. Good for you. So I know it doesn't sound like Jenny has any problem staying focused, but what about the rest of your team? So how do you help them stay focused so you can achieve what you want to achieve?
We have regular meetings. I have meetings with them where I put out an agenda. We sit down, I go through it. I do staff appraisals. I do follow-ups on the staff appraisals. And just a lot of communication. I'm a huge communicator. I mean, it's what I do for a living. So for me to continually be in communications with my staff is really important. And so we test and measure and, through valuation so that they know where they're at. They know where – and I'm very open – with in regards to where I'm wanting to go and where I'm wanting to take the business. So keeping them all abreast of that and under that understanding of where I want the business to be. And also with me, there are set, like we've got distinctive timeframes. I'm leaving in May to do my food tour. So I need, we've got a timeframe of from now until kind of April that, you know, my new renovations have to be finished. The staff have got to be retrained. We may have to hire some new staff. Or my management's got to be really nice and tight so that when I go and I'm away for a couple of months, this will be the big test. The first test was me going away for a week to Norfolk Island in November, which yeah. worked extremely well. My staff were great. We were busy. It was all fantastic. Mm-hmm. The next one will be going away for 2 months for mm-hmm. my honeymoon and my tour. And
Sorry, did you say my honeymoon?
Yeah, I'm getting married.
I knew you were getting married, but exciting. I didn't know when. That's excellent.
We thought we'd throw that in, Mel, in between, you know, renovations, the restaurant, tours. Let's just throw a wedding in.
Oh, yes. Why not? You've got nothing else going on.
Yeah. So distinctive goals to kind of have the restaurant really, really tight within regards to management and meetings before I go, that's my goal. So that's what I'm working solidly on now is, you know, in a second year of trade is to, you know, keep all our targets on track. And Jenny's really good within regards to keeping, you know, coming to me with, okay, Dom, these are our targets, this is where we need to be. And then I kind of follow that through with the staff. So because we are such a small team, there's only about 18 of us. It's
that's
nice
enough
to communicate. Yeah, it is big enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gosh, but it's small enough to kind of keep it all, you know, to keep everyone in the loop. So,
So apart from, getting married this year and your honeymoon, etc. What's the biggest goal that you have for 2016 and how will you achieve that?
So my biggest goal for 2016 is to be able to go away for 2 months and for my restaurant to continue trading the way that it is, if not better. We'll have all our renovations done, so we'll be able to seat, I would say, another 20 to 30 people without them getting wet or beaten down by sun or covered in caterpillars from our gorgeous Poinciana tree. So that's my goal. The goal for this year is to be able to go away and for my restaurant to run on its own. And if I can achieve that, that will show to me that I'm one step closer to that little bit more of freedom that I'm wanting within regards to opening up the restaurant. Because I didn't really want to open up the restaurant and have me permanently in the kitchen as a chef. That wasn't my goal. My goal was to open the restaurant, to have an entity where I could actually go and have coffee. It's close to where I live, to create this beautiful place in our community here at Banyo. But for me to still pursue and work on the other aspects that I love in my career, that's my food tours, the bit of TV, the radio, the cooking classes, the different demonstrations and bits and pieces, all the other bits and pieces that I do, which kind of get me out and about. That's the stuff that I really, really love. So that's my goal. And I think if I can achieve that for the 2 months and come back and, you know, all my staff are still playing nicely together and Jenny's got a smile on her face, I'll be really, really happy.
Very important.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's great.
So that's my main goal is, is to achieve that because I think that's any business owner's, golden dream is to be able to leave their business in the hands of their staff.
Yeah, it's the ultimate.
Yeah, isn't it? And to come back and then not to have been a drama, or if there has been a drama, they've sorted it out, worked through it, and it's all good.
Yeah, and the dollars keep ticking over in the bank account. Yeah,
that's right.
For sure, keeps flowing in. So finally, what is your top tip for getting stuff done?
I was thinking about this when I'm in the kitchen. I'm in the kitchen today making all our food that we have in our cabinet and salads and bits and pieces. I'm, you know, stirring two pots at once. There's something in the oven, the phone's ringing. I'm going, Dominic, how do you get stuff done? my top tip for getting stuff done, I'm a simple girl. I'm not too much into technology. I have my Outlook calendar and I have a diary.
Yep.
That's all I use. So I make sure that I try and write everything down that I need to achieve. I'm a big list girl.
Mm-hmm.
I love lists and I love knowing that I've got stuff written down that it's out of my head and I'm crossing it off and prioritizing. For me, it's prioritizing what's more important. And I've quite often, and we're all, you know, we're all still learning, but quite often I will start three or four different things and I will literally have to stop myself and go, Dominique, what is more important?
Yes.
Right, finish that.
Yes.
And then move on to A, you know, B, yep. C and D, because I get, yeah, I'll start something and then I'll go, oh, this has to be done, then this has to be done, then this, and you know, I kind of, I've got five things going, but then I sort of slow down and go, right, no, let's just get that done first.
Yes.
Put it away and then work on the next and work on the next. And it's impossible to work on a few things at once, and I normally have, you know, a lot of things going, but yeah, to get stuff really done, tick it off and put it away so that you, it's not, you know, choking up the desk and your head space. That's, yeah, I just have to stop myself.
Yep, yep. Mm-hmm. That's great. So yeah. Where is the best place for our listeners to be able to connect with you? Where do they find you?
Okay, so I'm down at Patea. So we're at on the corner of Royal Parade and Tufnell Road in Banyo, mm-hmm. opposite the Banyo train station. I'm here pretty much Wednesday to Friday. On my website, I've got all the information for my food tours. So I am doing a Norfolk Island gourmet foodie trail food tour this year. My Italian one is booked out. I'm on social media. I've got Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Having someone doing that too, that was a massive step. Getting, I've got my aunt who is amazing, who does my social media, mm-hmm. and that has made a huge impact and is a huge asset.
Yes.
To my business. So I would recommend anybody who has got their own business. You physically cannot do it all, as mm-hmm. much as you'd like to think that you can, but you know, she's in 2 days a week, and that is enough that we can really have a great presence on social media and be connecting with our followers and putting out information of the events and what's going on and what's happening and what I'm doing and bits and pieces like that. So yeah. That's a massive tick and a huge recommendation I would put out there for people. But I've got a newsletter and that goes out only once a month that sort of says what we're doing, all my cooking classes. So if people want to come and do a cooking class,
yeah.
We hold cooking classes here at Patea. So you can come and eat here. You can go on tour with me. You can do a class with me. There's lots of ways that people can connect simply, with you. Even yeah. simply send me an email.
Mm-hmm. Terrific.
Yeah.
Well, that's been fantastic today.
Oh, thank you, girls. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you so much. It's been great.
Thanks for making a little bit of space in your very, very busy day.
It's all right, ladies. It was a good chance for me to sit down for a minute. I'll go back and knock out a few more dishes and then I'm done for the day.
What dishes are you making?
Oh, so I'm doing I'm putting together a little roast vegetable frittata and little frittatas. I've got an Italian vegetarian roulade to put together and what else? Oh, I've just done about three different salads. I've got an Asian mushroom and rice noodle salad. Mm-hmm. There's one that I've done, which is a roast beetroot sweet potato and fresh melon salad, which is going to be gorgeous. Yeah, so I sort of prep them. I prep up the bits and pieces and then we have them in our cabinet. Yeah,
we haven't had lunch yet and I'm starving. And you're not helping.
And I'm only feeding her soup today too. So, well, thanks very much again.
Ladies, thanks. It's a pleasure.
We'll talk to you soon.
Lovely. Thank you, girls.
Thanks for listening to The Activity Pod. Continue the conversation over at theactivitypod.com, where you'll find the show notes and all the other fantastic episodes together with links to our Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivitypod, or tweet us at theactivitypod, where you'll find Annette and Mel every day. Theactivitypod.com is also a place where you can connect with Annette and Mel directly. Thanks for joining us today as we find better ways to help you focus, become more productive, and get stuff done so that you can gain greater freedom to choose what you want from life. We'd love you to join us in our next episode where we look forward to helping you with accountability so that you can get stuff done.